It's the Amazing Rico Bonilla Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Hey, how we doing? I got to admit, I freaking hate pennant races. I hate it. I don't like it. It's not fun. Like, there was nothing about this game that was enjoyable until Starling Marte ripped a 3-1 pitch in the left field. The ball hit the beautiful grass, and at that moment, I enjoyed myself. But for the other 2 hours and 20 minutes, this was torture. This wasn't fun. Pennant race baseball. There was something peaceful about last year. Meaningless games in September. We would do a Rico Bronya. We talk about the Mets. Who gave a crap? And it was all nice and peaceful, and there was no stress involved. This game on Monday night against the Washington Nationals, to quote the great Joe Beningo, was a freaking tooth extraction, bro. Now, with that said, the Mets won. I've decided to light the New York Mets lamp that is behind me in my little homemade Rico Bronya studio, and we can take one giant sigh of relief, because that's what this victory is. It is a sigh of relief. Thankfully, the LA Dodgers are doing God's work, because they're beating the crap out of the Atlanta Braves. And so when this day officially comes to close, the New York Mets will make it a very productive day, and they will have a one-game lead in the National League wildcard race. But there was so much from this game that left you stressed and pissed off. Why don't we start with the lineup? I mean, who the hell wanted to see Eddie Alvarez in the starting lineup over Luis Angel Acuna? And when Beningo came on our show on Monday and joined in, like, what are we doing playing Eddie Alvarez? There was a moment in which he was ripping Eddie Alvarez. I was ripping Eddie Alvarez. It felt like the old days, and I thought, wow, Eddie Alvarez is going to get 3 hits today. This is going to be perfect. We're destroying him. We can't understand why Carlos Mendoza put him in the lineup, and he's going to have a monster performance. While that didn't happen, his spot in the batting order turned out to be the game-winning moment, and that, of course, was Starling Marte getting the game-winning RBI single. So he didn't do much, but his spot in the order won it for the New York Mets. Look, for the Mets to make the postseason, there are 12 games now left on this calendar. This offense, which has been asleep at the wheel now for what feels like a month and has certainly been asleep over the last 3 days, it needs to wake up. I'm glad they won this game. I'm glad that Sean Manaea continued to pitch like an ace. I'm thrilled that the bullpen did an outstanding job. I'm thrilled that they finally broke through with a clutch hit off the bat of Starling Marte. But this crap's got to stop. They do not have Francisco Lindor for multiple days, maybe longer, and they need guys to step up. I feel like a freaking broken record, but it's just the reality. Guys need to step up. Pete Alonso needs to step up. J.D. Martinez needs to get a freaking hit. It's been like a month and a half since J.D.'s got hit. What is he, like 0 for 21 now? But I am thrilled that they were able to find a way anyway to win this baseball game. Sean Manaea, look, Sean Manaea continues to pitch like an ace that we never thought we had. This was an utterly brilliant performance by Manaea. Outside of one mistake he made in the fourth inning when he gave up that leadoff double to Juan Yepez and then gave a base hit, the base hit to Jose Peña, Sean Manaea continued to be his same brilliant self. Would I have allowed him to come out and pitch the eighth inning with a pitch count that was relatively low? It was only 85, and he had retired the last 8 batters he faced? I would. Now, there are some, especially after what happened with David Peterson on Sunday, who maybe liked the fact that Carlos Mendoza was quick to go to the bullpen. I wouldn't have done it. I would have continued to ride Sean Manaea. His pitch count was still low. He was pitching well. But look, Carlos Mendoza may be learning from what happened with David Peterson, or maybe being scared by what happened with David Peterson, or maybe realizing that Manaea does eventually get touched up a little bit. And I would have played it batter by batter. I wouldn't have just blindly allowed him to start the eighth inning. But I figured with the bottom of the order, it would have been a nice way to steal a couple of outs. Mendy decides not to do that. He goes to Jose Budo. And look, major credit to Jose Budo, because Budo has been shaky his last few appearances. We hadn't seen him in a while. It had been, what, a week since Jose Budo pitched? And we saw probably the most dominant Jose Budo we've seen in a while. 1-2-3, 3 consecutive strikeouts. That was a really, really good sign. Same with Edwin Diaz. Look, Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning of a tie game, of course he should come in, despite what happened on Sunday against the Phillies and JT Realmuto. And credit to Edwin Diaz, because when he gives up a leadoff hit to James Wood and then proceeds to allow him to go to second base that James Wood stole pretty easily, and the ball almost went to center field, great play by Jose Iglesias, Edwin Diaz showed great poise. He recovered from what happened the day earlier, and he got some decent hitters out, especially Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia scares me to the point where I said to my sleeping wife, because she was passed out, I said, honey, I can't let Luis Garcia beat me. She didn't respond because she was sleeping, but I don't want to face Luis Garcia. He has done so much damage to the Mets in the past. They had a base open. I figured, you know what? Go after this Jose Peña guy. He's not going to beat you a second time, but hey, they went after Garcia, got him to ground out the shortstop, and Edwin Diaz got the big strike out of Jose Peña. Great job by Edwin. Wonderful bounce back performance. How about our guy, Reed Garrett? Reed Garrett, who is firmly back in the circle of trust, first of all, throws enough strikes to get the bunt sacrifice out. I don't know why the Washington Nationals and Davey Martinez was calling on a bunt from Vargas. That didn't make any sense to me. You got your bottom of the order coming up in Ruiz and Jacob Young. You're on the road. You're playing for a run? The hell's that about? Now, no harm, no foul. I mean, that's, again, this isn't the FP Santangelo. This is the Rico Bronya. So I don't really care what they do. But I didn't understand it. But Reed Garrett, with a runner on third and less than two outs, got the soft contact ground ball to Acuna, got the another soft contact ground ball by Jacob Young, and he fights his way through the 10th inning. And by the grace of God, the Met offense was able to muster a second run. Because for most of this game, and I want to read you the emails because I think it perfectly kind of encompasses how the Met fan was feeling throughout this game. Because this was just awful to watch. This was an offense that was the definition of limp. And to allow Jake Irvin, who already ruined our 4th of July, to allow him to do this again on a Monday night in a very important game with the Mets having lost two in a row, this was torture. He retires the first nine guys he faces. The Mets put together like this mini rally in the 4th inning. Not exactly overly impressive outside of the Jose Iglesias clean single to lead off the 4th. They get an infield hit from Pete Alonso that should have been an error. Nimmo draws a walk, and then Mark Vientos hits a little roller that I swear to you, and I think we all thought this watching the game, he's going to beat it out. Like, there's no question Mark Vientos is going to hit this little roller to third base, which he did, which we've seen him do a few times this season, and he's going to beat it out. I don't know what the hell happened to Vientos. I don't know if he's not running as fast as he ran, let's say, a month ago. Not that he's ever been fleet of foot, but how the heck does he not beat that out? How does he not beat that out? And that was a major buzzkill because you're about to make it 1-1. You're about to immediately respond to the one Nationals run they got against Sean Manaea. And Vientos shockingly is thrown out at first base. And then the Mets go in the tank again against Jake Irvin. The cha-cha-cha, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Vientos comes up his next at-bat, bounces in with double play after Brandon Nimmo gets a hit, and we are facing six outs away from losing this disgusting, gut-wrenching 1-0 game. But I want to read to you some of these emails because, yeah, it was bad. Jackson writes, "Where in God's name is the offense? I just watched the Mets go down 1-2-3 in the bottom of the 6th inning. If my math is correct, going back to the 4th inning of Saturday's game, the Mets have scored one run in their last 21 innings. I usually try to stay away from being overly negative because I think the fan base has way too much of that. But watching this offense over the last month plus has been maddening. Thank God for the pitching staff performing way over their heads. Otherwise, this team season would have been over a while ago." Yes, Frank writes, "The New York Mets don't deserve the playoffs. The offense has been in a slump pretty much all season. The only highlight was Vientos until recently, where he's back to where he was last year. The lack of clutch hitting is year in and year out. It's amazing, honestly, to see them always go limp. I mean, for eight innings, most games, they're easy outs. And if it wasn't for poor pitching from other teams, they may not even be a 500 team. Think about all the games they won with hit batsmen and wild pitches. It's pathetic they can't even get sacrifice flies. And he goes on and on and on. Mike Berry writes, worst loss of the year incoming. Currently watching Mark Vientos bat in the bottom of the ninth. SNY just showed Reed Garrett warming up. Not sure why Edwin Diaz wouldn't be back out for the 10th. Loss incoming. By the way, I disagree with you. I looked at that ninth inning. Diaz threw a bunch of pitches. He pitched the day before. I don't think he gave them the best chance to win in the 10th inning. So it's not even about being conservative as a manager in terms of, is he available tomorrow or is he available the day after that? I literally, for this game, in this moment, thought Reed Garrett, who's pitched well lately, would actually give them a better chance than Edwin Diaz with a runner on second and nobody out. S. Raya writes, this is brutal. I can't stand it anymore sitting here watching these morons go 1-2-3. Strikes, you're out. It's like Bugs freaking Bunny. Going into the seventh inning, losing to the Nationals is the highest order of bullshittery, and it's incomprehensible. I want to use that word. I know I can't use it on the radio, but I like that. I don't think I'm familiar with that. Bullshittery. I'd almost rather they tanked in June than leading us on for some fantasy magical run in the postseason. I hate feeling like this every single year. The whole core can't hit in any kind of clutch situation. It's Mo Vaughn, Roberto Alomar, Jeremy Burnett, and Alex Escobar. Fail, fail, fail over and over. They literally sold the franchise's soul in 86. I like reading this now. I glanced at this while the Mets were being shut down 1-0, and I had a stomachache. I did. But reading it now, isn't this fun? Isn't this therapeutic? Leo writes, I'm sick of everyone kissing Vientos's butt. Everyone loves Vientos. Everyone complains the Mets can't hit with runners in scoring position. Well, guess who the worst player on the team is in hitting with two outs and runners in scoring position? You got it, Mark Vientos. 195, 250 on base. How about Leighton Close? Well, I'm glad you asked. 206 batting average, 231 on base. That's awful. And as you might have guessed, I'm writing this after Mark Vientos grounded out to third with the bases loaded and two outs to end the fourth inning. He is the slowest runner in the league. Has he ever raced Daniel Vogelbach or Rowdy Tellez? That would be a heck of a competition. Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Bad, bad, bad. And I felt the same way. Like, I'm sitting here watching this slop and watching this offense fail, and I'm thinking to myself, can I really be relieved that the Atlanta Braves are about to lose? I mean, I can be, because you'll take whatever help you can get. But how can this offense against Jake Irvin and Derek Law and Jose Ferrer, how can they shut down like this again? And then you start to have deja vu to pennant race games of the past. You think back to Atlanta from 2 years ago. And that's why there are demons that need to be exercised by not just beating the Braves next week, but by these core players. Pete Alonso, he had a hit in this game. It was a cheapie. Should have been an error. Was 0-for-4. In my book, he was really 1-for-4. He struck out twice. He struck out starting the ninth inning. Pete Alonso has got to get hot. I'm not saying this is going to define his entire Met tenure, but it's certainly going to define what we think of him in 2024. And you're waiting and you're hoping and you're thinking, well, now he's going to get hot. Now he's going to get hot. Hasn't happened. Brandon Nimmo did have that leadoff base hit in the seventh inning, did draw a walk in the fourth inning, but he comes up in the ninth inning. And right off the bat on that fly ball to right field, thought for a second, maybe it would get out. J.D. Martinez continues to be in this massive batting slump where you have to start seriously considering not playing him. I know I ripped Mendy, I think it was 3 days ago, for not playing him, but guess what? A lot changes in 3 days. He hasn't had a hit. So if you are going to reward guys based on the way they're playing, there aren't really a lot of options because not a lot of people are hitting, but Tyrone Taylor probably deserves another start. He had a double in this game, hit a home run on Sunday. They're about to face two left-handers, so forget Jesse Winker. So what do you do? Do you go Nimmo in left, Bader in center, Taylor in right, DHing JD? Well, you can't do that. Starling Marte just got the game-winning hit. So maybe you sit J.D. Martinez, you play Marte at DH, and you have an outfield of Taylor, Bader, and Nimmo. You're certainly going for defense when you do that. But it's tough because not a lot of guys are hitting. Now, as far as that eighth inning was concerned, you get a leadoff double from Tyrone Taylor. You get Francisco Alvarez bouncing the ball to third base and not being able to advance the runner. Or actually, he did advance the runner. That's right. He did. That ground ball to third base did advance the runner, because when Starling Marte came up and swung at the first pitch, pinch hitting for Eddie Alvarez, he grounded the ball right to shortstop, was unable to get the run home. And luckily, and this is where you need luck, and the Mets needed this offensively, Iglesias hits that comebacker that goes right off of Derek Law and fortunately somehow, some way allows them to tie the game, which kind of felt like a miracle. I was curious how they were going to handle the ninth inning. I was very surprised that Davey Martinez didn't go to Kyle Finnegan, didn't go to him in the ninth inning, didn't go to him in the 10th inning. When he didn't go to him in the ninth inning, my thought was, well, maybe he's saving him for the 10th inning where you've got the Manfred man on second base. And Davey took a very different approach, or a very interesting approach. The Mets used Bader to pinch run for Vientos. More on that in a minute, because that could have created a constitutional crisis. But then walks Tyrone Taylor, I guess fearing that Taylor would have been asked to call on to bunt and move that winning run to third base. So you walk Taylor for Francisco Alvarez. You know Alvarez isn't bunting, which he's not. I did think for a second, like, we don't know. Maybe Alvarez has laid down a bunt somewhere along the line. But immediately, you see him swinging away, and he just missed it. Ripped that ball to right field. It paid off like a sacrifice, at least in terms of moving the runner from second to third. And then you've got Starling Marte with runners on first and third and one out. He gets ahead of the count. He gets a fastball to hit. He rips the crap out of it. The first real clutch hit of this entire game. But let's answer a very important question. This is the question that I'm so glad we don't have to answer, but I am curious about. And I'm curious if anybody will ask Carlos Mendoza after the game. When he decided to use a pinch runner for Mark Vientos, that meant the Mets had no backup infielder left. Luis Angel Acuna had already come in the game to play shortstop. Eddie Alvarez was already out of the game. Francisco Lindor is not available, considering the back issues. And if he was available, I'm sure he would have been used as a pinch hitter, but he was not available. So if the Mets don't score the winning run, who's playing third base? You have Luis Angel Acuna at shortstop. You have Iglesias at second. You have Pete Alonso at first base. The only two guys on your bench are Luis Torrens and Francisco Lindor. And if you're assuming, like I am, Lindor is not available, are you moving Tyrone Taylor to second base, Iglesias to third? Are you moving Harrison Bader to second base? Like Starling Marte to second base? Luis Torrens or Francisco Alvarez to third base? They were going to have to play an outfielder or a catcher out of position. I was thinking that back in college, Pete Alonso played third base. So would you move Pete to third base and have somebody else play first base? But that's a risk. And I'm glad that Mendy took that risk, because Mendy basically said, with a little bit of confidence, a little bit of arrogance, F it. There won't be an 11th inning. I got the Manfred man on second base. Let's put as fast a guy as we can. God knows Mark Vientos can't run. We saw how he couldn't beat out that little infield hit back in the fourth inning of this game. So screw it. We'll worry about who plays third base in the 11th inning. But they literally did not have anybody unless Lindor was going to be able to get his carcass off the bench. I shouldn't have said carcass. I love Lindor. He's my guy. But unless Lindor was going to get his beautiful, beautiful behind off the bench, play shortstop, and then you could move Acuna to second and move Iglesias to third. I don't know if that was going to happen. But it all worked out because Starling Marte got the game-winning hit. Luis Angel Acuna, he should have started this game. He didn't. He will start the next two games against a couple of left-handers, Parker and Hers. But one thing that's been very impressive by Acuna is his defense. He has looked very good defensively at shortstop. kudos to Eddie Alvarez. He made a good defensive play at second base as well. But considering how young Acuña is, considering how inexperienced Acuña is, he has played some very good defensive shortstop, and he should continue to do that until Francisco Lindor is healthy. Lefty, righty, doesn't matter. Run him out every day. Don't get cute with Eddie Alvarez. I get it. He's a speed skater. We all love that dopey story that we've heard 100 times. Luis Angel Acuña has to go out there and play every day until Francisco Lindor is back. When will Francisco Lindor come back? It is very difficult to be optimistic, but the truth is none of us know. He's dealing with a back issue. His back is not good enough to play. The doctors have no idea when he's going to feel better. The good news is he doesn't have structural damage, but 2-3 days, 3 to 5 days, who knows? I listen to Lindor's entire meeting with the media, and that's really the crux of it if you haven't. He doesn't know. He wants to put on an optimistic face by saying he expects to play again this season. And, hey, how you doing, Francisco? I'm doing well. But the reality is an Iron Man who plays every single day does not feel well enough with his back to play in the middle of a pennant race. And you know that's killing him. This is not an excuse. I don't want to hear excuses. I do not want to hear it. As a sports fan, I have learned this the hard way. I've learned this often, whether it's my team, whether it's opponents. Injuries are a part of sports. You have to overcome it. I have seen teams, not my own, but I've seen teams overcome injuries all the time. We saw the St. Louis Cardinals win a World Series when Adam Wainwright missed the entire season. We saw the Atlanta Braves win a World Series when Ronald Acuña Jr. missed an entire season. Like, it happens. We've seen the Atlanta Braves fight tooth and nail. One game now behind the Mets, and they haven't missed one guy. They've missed a ton of guys. It's a part of sports. It builds character. You have to overcome it. Like, if Francisco Lindor doesn't play another game for the New York Mets this season, I am telling you right now, you're certainly not going to hear it on the Rico. I am not writing on the tombstone of this season, "Ah, G, Lindor got hurt." If they don't make the playoffs, even with Lindor not playing, the obituary for this season is going to be calling out the people that did not step up. And that is on, you know the guys, Brandon Nimmo, Pete Alonso, J.D. Martinez, Francisco Alvarez, Starling Marte, whatever guy you want to bring up, it's on them to step it up. No one will feel bad for the New York Mets when you look at Atlanta and see the amount of injuries that they have. So it sucks, man. Like, of course I want Lindor back. We all want Lindor back. The Mets' lack of offense without him is a reminder of how valuable he is. But there's no excuses. I don't want to hear it. This team continues to get brilliant starting pitching. Their bullpen did a very good job in this game, but I remain concerned over the final 12 games that formula is not going to keep it up. They need to hit. Whether it's DJ Hers or Mitchell Parker, it wasn't Jake Irvin tonight. These bats have got to wake up. I didn't love Mendy's lineup today, but here's where I commend Carlos Mendoza. He is not afraid to shake it up. He is not afraid to take a starting lineup and completely change it from day to day based on the way guys are playing. Look at Vientos being dropped to 6. So I appreciate that. What would I do against the left-handers over the next couple of days? I the more I think about it over the course of this podcast, Starling Marte must play. Tyrone Taylor must play. Brandon Nimmo must play. And I think I'm going to continue to give J.D. Martinez another opportunity to break out of this slump. So I think Bader would be the odd man out. Pete Alonso is your first baseman, obviously. Iglesias at second. Acuña at shortstop. Vientos, you run him out there every day at third base. Alvarez behind the plate. And you certainly hope that game 2 of this series is the game where they break out. Because the pitching matchups are going to get a hell of a lot more difficult as they get to the weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. Anything you want to add to this wonderful win victory, Pete?
The stuff that I have to add is not good. I can't stand Edwin Diaz. Like, I don't understand how he constantly is just a shell of himself in these big moments this year. It's very annoying. And here's another thing, too.
He got the job done, bro. He got the three outs he needed in the ninth inning of this game.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a heart attack while we're at it? here's the other thing, too. Dude, like, between Pete Alonso and Nimmo, and JD Martinez has hit the ball okay. Like, he's driven some deep balls, and they all die at the track. It's killing me. Why don't we just get back to simple, not saying small ball, but like take the ball where it's given you. Let's not try to hit for home runs. Let's not try to kill the ball. Let's not try to walk it off. Let's get base hits. Alonso and Nimmo, the ball died at the same spot. Where you said Nimmo, was it the ninth inning where it looked like it was gone? Died the same spot that Pete Alonso had one earlier in the game. It's frustrating that these guys are just going for the fences. Clearly, it's not working.
Brandon Nimmo has hit, I think, over the last couple of, let's say last week, three or four foul home runs. He's come very, very close, but he has not broken through. The Mets play game two of this three-game series, Tuesday night against the Washington Nationals, and we're going to try something different on the Rico Bronya. Usually, after games I go to, we do drive-home Ricos. On Tuesday night, I'm going to stay at Citi Field. When the game is over, I ain't leaving. I'm going to camp out. And we will do, for the first time ever, a live Rico Bronya to tape, if you don't listen live, but a live Rico Bronya from Citi Field after the game is over. So I'd say within 5 to 10 minutes of the game ending, we'll set up shop inside Citi Field, and we will respond to game two of this series against the Washington Nationals.
Now, where exactly are you setting up? Do you remember where?
I forgot. The Mets, we asked the Mets some permission because I think you need permission to do this. And they're like, sure. So they gave me a spot. I'm not exactly sure where it is. But the bottom line is we're going to try it. And we'll have some fun.
It's going to be in the Spanish broadcast booth.
Is that where it is?
That's where it's going to be. So if you're going to go bilingual on this at all.
That's a good point. You know, I've been working on my Spanish recently. I'll see what kind of mood I'm in. That's for sure.
Are we going to get a guest host at all? Guest appearance from somebody from your family, maybe?
I'm not bringing any of my family to a Tuesday night. Okay. Tuesday nights are not family night at Citi Field. It's not. But we'll give it a try. We'll do our first ever live Rico Bronya from Citi Field following game two of this series. To my fellow Met fans, get a good night's sleep. Thank you, Grimace. Thank you, Starling Marte. Thank you, New York Mets. Plus one. For the third wild card spot, thank you for listening and downloading Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.